Okay, welcome back. We are on our third hour of our third day on Saturday, September 15th. And here is Linda going to lead us off into another part of our venture.
What I would like to do is continue a little bit. Oops, I have to, wow, my phone is not supposed to be dinging. That's right. What I'd like us to do is do a little bit more with our touches. Again, because we have some people who don't know all the touches, and we're just going like step by step, because the beauty of this work is that if you just know, as I forget who made the comment, just do the circle and a quarter, however you do it with whatever part of your hand or even in your imagination, it's going to make a difference. Now, we have given the different parts of the hands animal names. And the way that came up with in Australia, I used to lead a group someplace in the world. And one year in Australia, we did this group called Transformation on the Trail. I think Cindy Lou Burrows is here with us. I think she was on that first trip. And Marnie Reeder was leading us one morning. We were all in camped in tents in a beautiful meadow. And she was leading us in Tai Chi. And at that point, we had five different touches. We had numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. It was like, you know, clouded leopard, lying leopard, etc. Five numbers. And I thought, how on earth are we going to remember more than that? Because it's just a plain memory thing. And Marnie was leading us in these beautiful Tai Chi movements, the cloud and the horse. And I got the idea, wait a minute, why don't I name the various forms of the positions that we use for our hands, give them animal names, whatever comes to me that reminds me of some animal I've worked with. And that's how it happened. So the clouded leopard is when you, and don't worry too much if you are new to this, to the names, just listen to them and then you'll learn them as you go along. It's not so important. If I'm doing like an evening demo, I might throw in a couple of names, but it's not important in the beginning. Just use the part of your hand that's comfortable. The reason it's interesting to differentiate the names is when I bring in the image of a clouded leopard and a big paw with the clouded leopard I worked on in the LA Zoo. As soon as you imagine clouded leopard, you activate the right brain. And then, we put the fingers on in a very specific method. So it's anything to do with methods or numbers activates the logical part of the brain. But we're thinking of that little animal, that it was a young clouded leopard in this case. So anytime we imagine the abalone or the lying leopard or the raccoon touch or, you know, the banana slug, that some people love that idea, we think of that of an animal, we imagine, and we picture them. And that brings in this whole other unseen side of a brain that in many cases not very practiced. If you have been through the normal left brain education that we in the Western world have, if you didn't go to a Waldorf school or a Steiner school. So that be said, I want to show you this fun way of thinking of the different names. So we have the abalone.
Linda, can you just bring your screen down just a little so it's easier to see? Maybe you won't have to raise your arm so much.
I can't tell. You know,
that's
I can't
perfect.
See how much you can think.
Thank you.
In German, they've made the name the abalone as Muschel because they didn't know the abalone, that my editor for this book. So the abalone is like the average abalone is about that big around, and it's a rounded shell and a soft muscle underneath, and it sticks to the rocks. It's really hard to get off the rocks. And so that's the abalone, is when you actually melt your hands, or that the whole hand is on the body, but it's slightly cupped. That's the most soothing touch. And then we've got the clouded leopard, which is like a big paw, and it's about two-thirds of the pad of the fingers, and you have these curved joints like that. And this brings a great awareness. The abalone is soothing. The pads of the fingers bring a lot of awareness to the circle and a quarter. Then if I actually like stretch my hand, kind of flatten it out and use this back of the fingers part here, that's when I was working on this little lying, this little clouded leopard, and it was really tense, and it was like making these very repetitive, stressful movements. And then after some tea touches, just like stretch the front paws out, front legs out, and was much more relaxed. So that's the lying leopard. Now, there's differentiation. You can have the lying leopard is the whole thing from the where the fingers meet the hand to the pads like that. That's the lying leopard. Now, the fun thing for those of you who are in the trainings, I differentiate. I might do just the very first section of my fingers. That's like a baby leopard. Because maybe on my fingers, that's just flat. It's just, that's it. That's the baby lying leopard. Now, if I just use these first two sections here, that's the teenager, because that maybe around my wrist, I want to have a kind of a soothing feeling there, not too precise, but gentle and soothing. And then if I use the whole thing, you get the warmth of the fingers. It's very nice. Okay. Now, I tip the fingers up a little bit more, and I use the tips of them without the nails. That's the raccoon touch. How many of you have seen these little raccoons, you know, who they use their fingers so in this very little precise way? So that's the tips of the fingers. And generally, that is meant for small touches. I mean, like really tiny circles is what I mean, as a rule. Now, what if I want to go with the nails? You see, perpendicular, this first section of my fingers is perpendicular to the ground, and to the skin. And when my fingers are together, that's the bear touch, like bear claw, right? And this is great if you have a mosquito bite. You go right into the middle of the bite and just turn around like that, and you can take the itch out of it really fast. Now, spread them out and do the nails. That's tiger touch. And now, look, I'm going to tip the fingers over. And now the nails make a connection. Just the nails. This is quite nice. You might do on the face. We're going to do a face refresher tomorrow. This is a little different here, but I could do that. Instead of the pads, I might use the pads, but kind of interesting, especially like around the neck area, from the tip to the second joint. That is the baby orang, from the tips to the second joint. And this is really nice on the neck. Really nice. Try this. Just try it. I want you to really feel this on your neck. That's when I actually got this particular touch. There's a lot going on that one screen, Eleanor, that you might watch.
I know, here. So Nancy, if it's, yeah, thank you.
It's a lot, it was really sunny.
Yeah, but she's moving around, so it's a little.
So this is a very nice thing to do, because like, I don't want to use my fingers around my throat. So I use the Thanks. Now, for those of you working on dogs, for instance, from the tip to the, you see this angle here, the knuckles, that is the orang. Baby orang, just half of it, like that. So here we have the nails, that's the baby chimp. Then two joints, baby orang. Now I can do the hands like that. That's the orang. This one touch, I'm really sorry I ever gave it a name, because it's kind of a hard touch, but some people say it's really helpful to them. It's, you see, just this part from the first to the second joint. And just reach out and imagine you're working on a horse with this. I wouldn't do this on a dog. I think it's way too hard on a dog. On a dog, soften this and get from the tip to the second joint, or on you. I don't like that feeling. It's way too hard when I just use this one section here. But allow two sections and it's off. It's fascinating what a difference that makes.
So we've got a bunch of really new people.
Yep.
And so for new and experienced T-Touch people, I want to also just encourage you to experiment and explore how it feels, how the different parts of the hand using that basic 1 1/4 circle in all these different ways, how it feels to you and what your preferences are. I just wanted to emphasize that. And to really play with it. And then, you know, instead of like the, you know, there was a period of time when I was trying to remember all the names of all the different positions, and my brain would go into confusion. And so what I started to do, and this may be helpful for some people, what I started to do is just let myself feel what I was doing, what my hand naturally wanted to do, what my intuition would, you know, would carry me into as I went and used my hand in different places and how my hand wanted to go. And then thought about, oh, which touch is that? So you can do it either direction. Excuse me. Either direction of thinking about the different touches and the name and the uses, and also play with and experiment what each feels like, and then think about, oh, which touch is that? And go back and forth. That's also a way to use both the linear and the intuitive creative side back and forth.
And this feeling is something that, you know, we don't give ourselves a lot of choice, a lot of chance to do this. And just feeling, however that is with parts of our body, makes a difference. I was, Martin, you saw that I was trying to call you later because I wanted you to share your story, because it was so unusual. The fact that after so many years, suddenly we just see things differently because of this perspective of connecting at this level to the wisdom within the cells. If we have time, I want you to share that after. So also what I realized, there are parts for those of you who know this work a lot. There are a couple of parts that I only use for humans. And one of it is what I call the camel. And it's the side. It's literally the side of this one forefinger from the tip to the second joint. And I'm using it here to show how I do it. But I don't need it on my face here. I use that on my back. It's a very interesting, especially if I'm working on another person in some ways, but I can do it on my back, just the side of it. And what I do, I take the thumb and I stabilize this. So it kind of looks, I don't know if you can see that, but that's what it would look like on the back. And it's a very useful touch to give you, as Sandy said, feeling. And if I do it without the thumb, it's a little unstable here. But when I just gently connect to this first joint, which is what we do when we ride, that's what I teach for riding. You connect this thumb right there over that first joint. And that's really great for certain parts to work on your back, or a part that's not like your ribs. It's really easy on, I don't know if you can see this, on the ribs, like this. Just try that. It's a simple, simple way to use the hands. There's another part that I mentioned once before, and I really love to see hands up if any of you use, and it's what we call the elephant seal. We talked about it last weekend. And I got that one when I, oh my gosh, my knee hurt so badly. I was walking upstairs at home. I was totally fine. I have no knee problems, right? Walking upstairs, three steps from the top, my gosh, suddenly I felt like I had just, bam, instant, so much pain in my right knee. I could not put any weight on it. So I hopped on one foot. I crawled up the last few steps and then hopped to a chair and sat down, and I couldn't touch my knee. It was so tender. And so I just started, not tender, painful, started exploring how far down away from that knee was that actual pain. Because I want us to talk about this. When we have anything wrong with us, instead of thinking, oh my God, what's going to happen? Start talking to the cells, putting light in the cells, smiling at them, and realizing you can transform this situation by talking to the cells. So I, after maybe 15, 20 minutes, I found, wow, interesting. I thought, I mean, it was my knee where the pain was, but so far, 8 inches down from the knee was still like sensitive. So you just start working very lightly. And that's where I use actually the raccoon probably. I know it was a raccoon. Just the gentle tips of the fingers. And then, okay, pain was reduced. Actually, it was feeling really pretty good. So then I intuitively use this pad here of my thumb, because it's not direct, you know, the cells didn't have to go, don't touch me. And wow, I started rolling that pad around, first where it didn't hurt, and then where it had hurt before. By the end of 25 minutes, I could really roll with pressure there, felt no discomfort at all. And I haven't had a problem since. Interesting, isn't it? So, these are the parts, and just for fun, for those of you who are, you know, lots of touches, I'll give you a touch that I rarely mention the name of it, but it is out there. It's when you curve the little finger. You see how that little finger is curved so much? That's what I call the hummingbird. And it's necessary to curve that finger in order to get a nice, soft banana slug. Because if I straighten my hand, look, this is hard as a rock. But I curve it, and it softens. So that'll be fun to those of you who already know a lot of touches.
Can you distinguish between the hummingbird and the banana slug?
Oh, yes, thank you. Banana slug is from where the fingers join the hand back to this bone right here. There, that's the banana slug. And the hummingbird is the side of the finger, of little finger. It's just a side. The very I don't use it very often, but it's a, I think because of the name, I love the feeling of it. And it's a very sweet, soft little part that you can play around with different parts. Maybe you'll find another part that you'll like even more. Let's see if there are any thoughts or any comments or, oh, and no, one thing I want to add in to all of you, and especially those who've had a lot of experience, but to everybody, just think about this. In every section of our hand is a connection to a different part of the body. Okay, so what does that mean with our work? When we differentiate the parts of the hand and we use that part to make a circle and a quarter, I am certain we're also affecting the part that is connected to that particular part of the hand. Can't hurt, and it certainly can help, because oh my gosh, I mean, I am so blessed that at 82 I am, you know, I don't have discomfort in my body. I really want you to know that sometimes it comes. I woke up this morning and I had a sharp pain right in this joint. It was like a 6 pain right in that joint. And it happened to me about a month ago. And the thing is, if you don't have T-Touch, what do you think? You think, oh my gosh, oh no, yeah, this, you know how that goes, right? But instead, I said, oh, hello. And it was so much fun because normally I don't think to put in light, or I don't think to connect to the divine spark. Because if I just do the touches, it will be fine. But it was much more interesting now to visualize the light in the cells and to smile, which I do anyway at it. Well, it's not true. No, I don't always. I just like, just work it, right? But I was really smiling at it. And it doesn't take 3 minutes maybe till that's gone. And I just want to share that because it seems like a small thing, but if anything starts to bother us, what do we think? It's the OO factor, right? Mm-hmm. And that's where the fear comes in. And that's what Donna said, love, overflow it with love. Acknowledge the fear and say, but you know what? I've got other possibilities. I don't have to go there. So I want you to just start seeing the miracle of your hands and know that in this hand are all connections to all parts of the body. And that's what Teresa did so beautifully. She imagined her hand was her foot and got such relief in her feet. I don't know if you're able to be with us tonight, Teresa, if you're here, but it was an amazing explanation, and that's something I want to go back and listen to that again. Comments or questions for those of you who know, or those the parts, how it's affected you, and for those of you who don't know, how does that feel to have all this zoo, all these different animals that I have worked with, the orangs and the chimps, and I didn't work with the banana slug, I have to say, I'm sorry, I can't say that because I think they're really cute. So next time I see a banana slug, I'm going to talk to it. Any thoughts, any comments?
You know, Linda, I am so thankful every time for your absolute brilliance of creating these very, very, very specific animal touches, because what you just said lit my fire when you said every section of our hand connects to a different part of the body and the brain. And you know, what are the signs when people's brains aren't working well is they're losing the fine motor skills. They're losing the gross motor skills. So what are we doing? We're reminding. So we're constantly, if you did this for your lifetime of this awareness of these little areas of the body, these touches, You're constantly reminding, you're sparking, you're getting the brain to sense it and stay online and connect with it. And the body as a whole connects and is constantly healing itself. So like you said, remembering.
Yes, thank you, Eleanor, remembering. And I'm going to give you a piece now that is going to allow you to forgive the parts of your body that maybe aren't quite like you'd like them to be. Because if you have a part that you can't manipulate, you can't, maybe it's lost its strength, there are just lots of different reasons. If we can bring forgiveness to that part, we override the fear and allow the place for the love. And this is something called Ho'oponopono. Now, we will write these, you already have the title of this book, right? Sandy, we put both titles, right? This one and the book of, correct? By Dupre and by the other three.
We put the Dupre book, okay. Looking, but not.
I thought we added this too. This does need to be added, because this is this book by Ulrich Dupre. It's a beautiful little book. I have read it many, many times. It's very, very inspiringly and beautifully written. It's Ho'oponopono is the Hawaiian forgiveness ritual as a key to your life's fulfillment. And the reason that I bring this up, I'm going to tell you a quick story how it came to me, because you know I live in Hawaii 20 years now, and we talk story to have teachings. So I'm home and sitting in the living room, and somebody had given me a videotape to watch called The Shock Doctrine. And it's about how with American policy, we interfered in Chile and created this situation down there and it's well documented. Naomi Klein wrote this. I was really shocked. And then I also had the book, The Shock Doctrine, and I started reading it. And what the reason I was in shock is that this is, Naomi Klein talks about the fact that in the 70s, this idea was brought about that we would have a new economic policy without regulation, deregulation and privatization. And when that happened, that's when we had this big crash where so many people lost their money because of that particular doctrine that was put in place. And when I read in this book about the guy, I forget his name, who came up with this concept in the 70s, what the book said, that if Margaret Thatcher had stayed in another like 6 months, the UK would have lost their health care, because that's the whole idea. No, don't support anybody who can't help themselves. No. So when I read this, I got so upset. And the first thing that I thought about, and this is a terrible thing to say, but I wanted to kill the guy who came up with it. Isn't that, I mean, it's such a primitive, strange, I mean, it's based on intense fear. I was very disappointed because he's already dead. You know, I mean, we can laugh at that, but I was shocked at myself. Then the next thought, I thought, you know what? I don't want to live in a world like this. I'm done with it. I can't take it, because there's nothing I can do about it. And then I don't want to live. And then I thought, that's not a good thing for me to think, because I have a great ability to manifest. Okay. So then I thought, okay, I need help. And I really put out this call. My intention was, I need help. Please help me. And honest to goodness, you all, like 4 feet away, like a little over a meter, from my hand, there was a book on my end table. And I remembered putting that book there like the year, a year before. And it was actually my friend, Sherry Scott, who I think is on with us tonight, who gave me that book. And I thought, okay, I'm going to pick up that book. It's got to have the help in it. And I just opened the book, and it was this, it was not this one, it was Zero Limits. It's not my favorite for numbers of reasons, but it didn't matter because it had the information. I opened the book and it said, if you want to deal with something that is really terrible and really upsetting, use this Ho'oponopono. And you just, whatever it is that upsets you, you start something about your body you may not like, you know. There are four short phrases that you say, and you put them in whatever order it feels right to you. You say, I'm sorry, whatever it is. Forgive me. Thank you. Then it's done. I love you. And at first I thought, what do you mean I love you? Because let's say it's about, like, it's, what do you mean I love you about this situation that was created, was so terrible? But it's, I love the divine within you. And it doesn't say that. It took me a long time to find that. And it was in the book that we put up there called The Book of Ho'oponopono by Dr. Luc Baudin and Natalie Baudin Lamboy and Jean Gracier, Jean Gracier. It's three people. The reason I say those three names is Luc Baudin has written quite a few books on it, but this book is brilliant. And what it gave me was an understanding that I love you. I love the divine within me. And the thank you is like, thank you for wiping this slate clean. And I'm sorry that I created this situation because you all, this is a hard one at first, but when you really get this statement from the selfie, I am you. We're all connected. So whatever the situation is, I have a part of that. I have a responsibility to that. And that took me quite a while to get this. But the more I read this lovely little book by Dupre, and then getting in the science behind the Book of Ho'oponopono, is fascinating. That's when I began to use it over and over and over. And I have made, whatever the situation, I give this in almost every course that I teach. You know, if you've got an issue with your employer, Marian, I was thinking of you, if you'd had Ho'oponopono when you were working at the airlines, it would have been a whole lot easier than all that you went through as a, you know, senior staff member. But it, because something changes. Well, something is the energy that changes. And I want to bring up this, you know, the elephant, the gorilla in the room is the energy of every thought we have. And I want to go back to this because for those of you, and we're going to talk to you about this tomorrow, for those of you who are interested to be listed, to be known that you can work with this detach for you, for family and friends, and if you're already a therapist in your therapy, then you have to understand that energy is so important. What does that mean? It's every thought we have, every feeling we have. This is energy. Every emotion that we feel, and every belief we hold, and that belief is so big a part in the Bruce Lipton and Steve Bauman book of Spontaneous Evolution. It's such an important part of what we're doing here, creating the world and the humanity we crave. Changing that perspective. And part of that is being in a place of forgiveness around us, because we can change the world only by changing ourselves. And this is where we start. And of all the stuff that we do, the Ho'oponopono, I think It's one of the most important things that I know on the planet. And it's really worth getting this beautiful little book, Ulrich Dupré. Of course, it's an Amazon book. And it's like $9.95.
We also have a book club video that people can visit and listen to the whole book club discussion with you talking on it too.
Yeah, which book did I do? I can't remember which one was
this
it.
This one by Dupré.
Yes. And can you put up in the membership how they go to the book club?
Sure.
Because I can never remember how we get there. Because I did we did book clubs on quite a few of the books that I've talked about.
The whole book club is there on the site. So I will share the whole site with them.
But we have to put it on the membership.
On so membership.
Yeah. I'll get with Eleanor and we'll
how to get there. Okay. Yep. Now I'd just like to know if any of you have a Ho'oponopono story, a shift that you can make just in any situation. We're anybody want to share one?
While we're waiting to see if someone who wants to share something, Martha has a question.
Let's go for it.
Isn't healing defined as a shift in perspective? Do we now consider tea touch a healing modality if we shift perspective?
I don't know what the definition is. I never use the word myself as a healer, and we're actually not allowed to say that we heal anything. I believe we have to be extremely careful of that. The reason I would never call myself a healer is I believe every single person on the planet has that ability to heal ourselves. And I don't know how to answer that, Martha. It's a really good question, but I caution you to be very careful. Maybe some other people have other. I'm particularly cautious about this because of
Linda?
Yeah.
I think my feeling is when you're talking to us that we are using these touches to help with the light in the cells, the connection between the cells, then therefore we're not healers. We're not healing because we're showing that, and not only that, frequently we're actually showing the person how to do the touch for themselves, right? Like, for instance, like you said, your client is going up the stairs and all of a sudden their knee just doesn't let them go up the last three stairs, but you've taught them these specific, beautiful, easy to learn animal touches. And suddenly they're like, oh my gosh, I feel so much better. And now my day, I can go about my day. And they have tools. But really, you know, as you talk about the light within the cells, that's people reconnecting it. It's they're doing it, not us.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's where we have to be so careful. And Martha, maybe that was one of the things you said you were concerned about taking responsibility. It's not our responsibility to fix anybody, but rather to give them tools that they can help. They can activate their own amazing potential of their body to take care of itself. I mean, that's what we're doing. That's what we're facilitating. And you would have been so interested. I was in the hospital last week with a friend who broke her arm. And I was talking to her about our class and Tea Touch for You and what we do. And the doctor, the head doctor, was very casual in Germany. They just had a screen between us, just a wooden screen. And he was kind of sticking out and I could see the foot of the guy he was working on, a person who injured his foot. And so I was talking in German to my friend about how, you know, we simply facilitate this, the body's ability, we support the body's ability to help itself. And he said, I hope you don't mind that I listen to your conversation, but that's what I and my colleagues feel. We don't feel that we we heal anything. We simply facilitate healing. And I thought, so where do you come from? This young guy's maybe, oh, he's been in practice 9 years, actually. So he's young, in the 40s, and so brilliant and so kind to my friend and to us. I just couldn't believe it. And I thought, wow, is that exciting to think that there's a group of young doctors feeling that way, getting it? I mean, that's what we want, isn't it? Recognize the body's brilliance, that cell wisdom that Joan, here, this, the code of authentic living, cellular wisdom. This, I love this book by Joan King. And that's what we're talking about. And so, Martha, thank you for that question, because you see, I think we have to be really, all we're doing is giving a person an opportunity to remember their potential for ideal function. That's our message. Oh my goodness, I haven't even brought it up this class. When we do T-touch on somebody or on ourselves, we're giving a simple message to the body. Simplicity is remember your perfection. Now, some people don't like that because they think, oh, I can't be perfect. So, or if somebody is really in maybe fourth stage cancer, somebody I'm working with and or alls, and you know, they're going to make a transition most likely, unless they have happened to be one of the people who have this, one of these remissions that can happen. But normally they're going to cross the rainbow bridge. In Hawaiian terms, they're going to change addresses. Not that they die, they change addresses. And my whole thing is to support them in this, whatever their decision is. But if I say to somebody like that, remember your perfection, there's no way they can get it. But if I say, remember your potential for ideal function at the cellular level. And when we now understand what that means at the cellular level, the wisdom, the ultimate creative wisdom, this incredible intelligence in every cell, and we can put it with the light, we can visualize the light in the cells, we can visualize the frequency of the cells. That's what I do. If I need more energy, I up my frequency of my cells. I just imagine it. And we can do this, or we can bring it down if we need to. So these are things that are close to my heart that I'm really excited to share with you. And this concept, that let's just play with this, go back to the hand a little bit, and then we're going to do another little process here. So we cup the hand like that. That's the abalone, because we don't want it flat. If it's flat, you don't get this nice melting thing. Yeah, that's the abalone. Then you turn the hand this way, just follow me. And you see, I'm making contact with the part of my fingers that we call the lying leopard. And then, did some of you learn this as kids? Like, here's a church and there's a steeple. Did anybody learn that in Sunday school? Mm-hmm. So there's our church here. Because, and you see that where the pads are connected, that one, like this, that's clouded leopard, like a big paw. And just think of that little, it was a two-month-old leopard I worked with in the LA Zoo. That's a clouded leopard. Okay, so abalone, lying leopard, clouded leopard, because it had spots on it. I don't know why it reminded me of a cloud. Now, tip the fingers more, so it's just the tips, like the tips. Raccoon, now. Yeah, go like this 90 degrees. You see the first section. That's the bear if the fingers are together and tiger if they're apart. And now, oh, tip over the fingernails. Okay, so that is, what's that one? Baby chimp. And then baby orang from the tips to the second joint. Look at this. And then I pull the tips back, and there is the chimp touch. And now I go look at the 90 degree angle. That's the orang because they hang their fingers down. And then I didn't show you, I didn't finish the whole, any part of the back of the hand that you can use, you know, on yourself, on an animal, any part in that, that's the, what's that one called? Who remembers? Marty McGee Bennett's Llama Touch. It came from a bet that I made with her that I could touch the llama's ears. And with the back of my fingers like that, oh, that was easy. And for those of you who have horses, sometimes when you can't touch the ears by reaching out with your hand, take the back of your hand like this, and you may be able to touch the horse that otherwise you couldn't. Now, we have it like this. Now, wait a minute. We have, don't we? We have this section, which is the soft yellowish banana slug. And I have my little fingers curved around as in the, what's it called? The
hummingbird.
Hummingbird. Thank you. Hummingbird. And then I have, this is a little harder to do. This, it's that section. I'm going to put a mark here, but oh, that's not marking very well. My pen's not working. I want you to see this because otherwise I don't think you can necessarily.
You do it.
Oh, here, I'm going to really mark it. Okay. See, it's this soft pad here. Like that. And it's a really easy thing to roll around. Just roll like that. And you didn't hear the story of how I got it. Have any of you ever seen or picture it, like actually seen an elephant seal? They're enormous. They're like the body is about 6 feet long, and then they have this funny nose. And that's, I thought of, there's the body, and there's that funny nose. It has a prosthetic, I forget what you call it. They're really interesting. And somewhere I have a picture of me lying beside this thing. I mean, like 3 or 4 feet away, but I was just lying there and it was looking at me. It was pretty interesting. So there you have it. Now, what I want you to do with this, I want to give us time for any comments or questions, but what I'd like to leave you with a little bit is this idea. Now, just as Sandy said, just explore with the body blessing different parts of your body and just talk to the cells and kind of get a sense, what kind of light is there? Or what about, let's see, is there a part of me that, maybe I'm not so kind to because I don't like the way it looks? That's when you use the Ho'oponopono. Huh? I'm sorry that I feel this way about you, that maybe I didn't see the light, or maybe I didn't see the blessing, and maybe I haven't been as gratitudinous, what the word is, grateful as I could be to certain parts. And you start forgiving yourself for that. Oh, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I didn't realize, you know, that how I feel about my body affects the function of the cell. Remember, maybe some of you remember on the first, I think in the first hour, I said that Roland McGrady from HeartMath Institute is the director of research. And about 15 years ago, he put out a paper that really affected me. And he said that studies show that how we talk to our body actually affects the function of the nervous system. And when I read that, like one sentence, I thought, oh, because I used to say a lot, oh, Linda, that was really stupid. And I have very much worked on myself not to do that ever since. It's a hard one because there are parts that we're not so happy with necessarily. But you know what? Let's put in this basic code for living that makes me at 82 so grateful for the wrinkles I have and all this stuff. It's a fascinating journey when we deal with it with love. And this idea that no matter what's going on, I practice seeing this half empty glass as half full. How do I do it? By counting my blessings. Write this down, because that's how we create this world and this humanity that we crave. A loving place to be. A loving vehicle. A loving universe. This is a universe that houses our soul, that we call our bodies. And it's so exciting to share this and to watch it and to see this universe, wow, all the parts of it. So what I would really love to do is to have you just take a little bit of time, even if you can, with your journal after this. And first of all, just go over, let's do it a few minutes. Actually, let's do it now. Never mind after. Let's just explore with any part that you kind of feel, feel areas that feel good and that you like, and then you think maybe I haven't been so kind to this part or so aware. How can I pour some appreciation into it, some love into the area? And I love Louise Hay's concept, if you cannot say the word love, substitute the word appreciation. I had to do that a lot for a lot of years. It's not easy to learn to say the word love. But if you, as you explore, just play around with different parts of your hands. As you explore, if you add the smile, I'm not going to say now, I'm going to have you write it later, what the smile activates. Smile, give thanks that, wow, we can be here. We can feel, see, hear, however that is. And breathe love with every breath into the cells. And imagine with that light, just wonderful light of appreciation. Wow. Just feel now, where is a part that, not as much light, because maybe it's been painful or scary. And know that we can acknowledge that divine spark and light up those cells with appreciation. Gratitude. And like the wow factor. Hey, thanks. And do some touches with the back of your hand, like the llama or this is where the orang fits in, around the ribs, right around your ribs. Because our ribs don't get enough attention. Hey, these billows that we have. And let's bring the Billy in. Oh my God. No, the guys don't have to worry about this, but we do, right? We have to learn how to love these bellies that we have and all the organs that they house and all the bacteria. Let's give some light and love into the bacteria that we need here. Yes, and we appreciate. And any we don't need, we can just like you guys transform, transmute out of there, eh? I'd like us just to take our journal and write a few words. Just write a few words about how you're feeling right now. And I would really love it if a few of you would dare to share. Maybe some of you who have not had a chance yet to share. Just some of the way you're feeling right now. Can they unmute themselves? Can you unmute them so they could speak?
I'm looking to see if someone raising their hand.
Sandra.
Okay. Hi, Sandra.
Hi.
We'll just do a few words, just short.
Is the infinite possibility for change. Change the way we think about ourselves and the way we think about how we can live and how we can be because of things that happened in the past to me about how people said I could live or be. And I'm determined to change that for other people. We don't have to be X, Y, Z or A, B, C. We can make a choice about that change. And it's possible.
Thank you.
That's what it is.
Thank you. Susan Davis, did I see your hand?
Oh, here, Shannon.
Yeah.
Hi, Shannon.
Hi. I just was writing in my journal how much today's session meant to me, even though my internet connection kept dropping and I kept floating in and out. But for some reason, this was very impactful to me, even instigating the idea that watching Linda for so many years, like 50, I've recognized how she's always ahead of her time in what she's saying. And I'm watching in my community how things she was teaching 50, 40 years ago, people are starting to catch on now. And what she's doing today in this immersion session, what you all are doing, is really on the cutting edge of understanding how to balance the world. So I just wanted to make a note of that sometimes when people think like this mindset is, it takes a while for it to settle in on an omnipresent basis. So there.
Thank you.
And you said Susan Davis. Did you want to say something, Susan?
I thought I saw her hand moving around.
Oh, I can't unmute her. Hold on. Susan, can you try to unmute yourself?
Yeah. Oh, there yeah, we go. I did. No, I'm sorry. I'm writing notes down and keeping track of everything. I'm overwhelmed and awestruck, and I've been doing this for over 25, 30 years, and I'm filled. I'm full. You know, it's hard to speak sometimes in the moment for me, anyhow, only it because is. I've got so much going on that I'm processing. Two, 3 days from now, things start to filter out, and then I take more notes and write things out. But that seems how I do this, you know. I'm loving every moment of it, and I've been crying and tears flowing, and it's I'm fulfilled.
Blessings.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Anne.
Oh, yeah.
Hello.
Hi, Anna.
Good evening. I have been teaching all day, and I was really tired when I started watching. I still am tired, I have to admit. But we were talking about how much memories are in our cells. And when you did the coiled python in the beginning, I started on my arm and then started working on my fingers, and I didn't know why. But then I remembered years ago, many, many years ago, I was in Austria and I had an allergy on my fingers. And all the blisters growing on my fingers. And there were so many that I had like a second skin. So that was a mixture between insensibility and pain. And it was itchy. And we were in the shelter and I really didn't feel like working because it was dripping and it was, as I said, it was painful and I didn't feel I could feel what I had under my fingers. So Martin Lasser started working on my fingers and he made python lifts and coiled pythons, really tiny, 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 tiny. And that in the beginning, I didn't like the idea of it because I said, well, leave those hands alone. They don't work. But these little tiny coiled pythons and python lifts really helped me to get rid of the pain. And in the evening, get rid of the skin. It really came off. And I had the new skin underneath. It was so much better. And that was fun because we were talking about the memories in the cells. And so my head somehow made me think about my fingers. And then it went back to Austria. And so... wow, so much memory in ourselves. It's beautiful.
Beautiful, thank you so much.
And I just saw that Martin is here. Thank you, Martin.
Yes, and I was hoping that he would, actually, Martin, if you would talk about, because you had a breakthrough after all the years you've been doing this. This is what I'm just fascinated by, those of us who've been really doing this a long time and still getting lots. Hi, Martin. Hi, Karen. Hi, Karen.
Yeah, for me, it was really amazing to feel because I had also to work. I had a teacher talk seminar now. And after the last body blessing we did, I felt the relaxation. And this was the beginning of get a feeling from my body. I can feel the light in the cells. And it was really amazing to feel it. And also this information in the cells, the divine information in the cell. It was really amazing to feel it, but it was only possible because I become to the state of relaxation.
Ah.
It was possible to feel. And this was really nice to get it now.
Beautiful.
Yeah. It was really amazing.
And one of the things I want to leave us with, because what we're coming to, when we start to get that relaxation and we start to get that light and that connection, we're looking at frequency, the frequency of ourselves. It's what I'm going to be sharing tomorrow is something that I got at the One Earth Gathering in 1985. Like, wait a minute. What were we really doing at this One Earth Gathering? And it has to do with frequency. And it has to, we couldn't, I mean, all that we've been doing, it seems like we've been together for months, doesn't it? It's only actually been 3 days here that we've been together. I feel such a connection to all of you. It's so incredible. And I'm reading the, I just can't get over what's coming through on Facebook. I'm so thrilled with it. So. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. Really, thank you.
So we're at time, yes? So we will be closing for just today. We will meet you back here tomorrow, the same time. Please do join us in Facebook, and all of this, my linear brain is not quite as fully engaged. The handouts will be in the membership site once the recordings are up, and there are a number of things currently in the bonus area already that you can go and check out. And we look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Linda, do you have anything you want to add?
Yes, if they have a chance to go and look at the hands, and then we have to add a couple more hand images to that. But it's a fun idea that we've had to play with the names and the positions. I think it's really, I'm so glad that you put that up, Sandy. I love it.
Yeah, the handout for the hands is not yet up, so I will send that out in an email.
Oh, what was I looking at?
Oh, did she get it up?
Oh, maybe it isn't up. I saw it. Oh, I saw it just in the email. Oh, it's not up. Oh, yeah. Okay. It'll be up.
Yeah.
A couple of days.
But I will send that out actually today so that you can have that.
And Sandy, somebody is asking, where is the membership site located? Is it in the Facebook page?
Yeah, so that came, whoever is asking that can email me and we'll get you set up. Or I don't know if Kirsten's available, Linda, or not.
No, but just tell them how to get there.
Well, I can't verbally say the address. Well, you can go, you have, go to ttouchforyouonline.com and fill in the login information. And whoever it is, I can send you the steps once again. It is also posted in the Facebook group. So there's multiple ways to get that information. And I will type in right now.
Oh, you mean because they need a password?
Yeah, they have to have their password.
Oh, right. Oh, right. Okay, perfect. Well, Kirsten will be Monday. She won't be able to get it till Monday.
So if that's the ttouchforyouonline.com will get you to the place where you can put in your password and your username. So I'm going to stop the recording for this part, though.
All right, sorry.
Okay.
Well, maybe it's good to have that on the recording, actually, because that,
yeah.
Okay.
I like that.
Okay. Yeah. So that's where you go, ttouchforyouonline.com, and you can put in your password and your username there, and then you takes you to a page where you'll see Immersion Series. You click on that, and that takes you to where all the day's recordings are, and your bonuses, and the Facebook information, and lots of great things that we keep putting every week we're putting in more information. So keep checking back to it.
And do we have that extra hour that we did with Karen's beautiful explanation?
There's
because we thought we'd lost one. So we did an extra hour with Karen.
So I can tell you what's up currently. And that is, for those of you who are going to be listening in the future, this will change. But right now, change in the sense that there'll be more. But we've currently have in the bonus section for the videos, we have four different videos. And that is a little bit about Linda and Eleanor talking about the history of T-Touch, which is really, really wonderful. A nature meditation that also has the fig tree message in it. And that nature meditation is so that it's short and so that you can, anytime you want to go back and have an experience with Linda guiding you in a meditation into nature, that she did that for everyone, so that you can just click on that and have that, just go right to that. And the fig tree message is included in there. And then we've got a special thing that Linda's going to talk about tomorrow, I believe. Yes. On Atlantis. And big drum roll for this. And also is the bonus video that Linda was just referring to. And that is about the basic 1 1/4 circle and several of the elements, and also Karen's amazing story sharing about what happened with her knee. And this is an hour long video, so there's a lot of nuances about the basic 1 1/4 circle and some of the elements that are in there that I highly, highly recommend. And to hear Karen talking about her experience is really there's so much detail that she gave about what she did and how she experienced the changes in her knee. And there's a bunch of PDFs up that you can download. And that is a 4-page celebration message, which is absolutely beautiful and has beautiful graphics that our wonderful Kate Reardon put up, put together. There's something on journaling, the fig tree message is in there, also just written out beautifully. And that's where the picture of Linda with the fig tree is. And an article about using light touch and oxytocin, which is it's part of a larger article, but I pulled that out so that it's a couple of pages.
So we'll be working with that tomorrow.
And you also have the authors and book references from last class, the first two days. So that's listed out, that's there. And your empowerment scale and the 9 elements, which we'll be referring to, I believe, tomorrow again. Yeah. And then there's lots more that's going to be getting put up, one of which is an amazing article on using wraps. And actually, I'm going to send that to you, that and the hands, this afternoon, so that you'll have those if you want to go and read. Okay?
Thank you, Sandy. And, wow.
Yeah, and we should just make a little plug for this, because the 4 pages on wraps is from, it's a report that Robin Bernhard made on the study that Sandy set up with Robin on brain. It was a pilot study for brain injured people who were told they could have no more hope for improvement.
Yeah.
And you did it over a year. Was it a year?
Yeah.
Yeah. And including the wraps in it, which made a big difference. It's very much worth reading. And it's part of Robin's book, Wrap It Up For You. It's just a piece that Robin Bernhardt wrote for it. So, I am going into dream time in a while, and the rest of you have a lovely day. It's been so really, really deeply touching. This has been my dream a dream come true for me to be here with all of you. Mahalo.
Hello.
I love you all.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Aloha.
Recording.
The end. Hey, Anna, I can see you in Italy.